Take your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter 8. We're going to finish up Luke chapter 8 tonight. We're going to finish the story that we actually started last week but got interrupted by the lady that came to Christ and touched the edge of his garment. But we're going to talk about Jairus and his little 12-year-old daughter. Again, we read verses 41 and 42 as part of the scripture last week, but let me read it again this week just to refresh your memory, and then we'll skip down to where we're going to start tonight in verse 49. But in verse 41, Luke chapter 8, the Bible says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." So he was a ruler or a leader of the synagogue, probably at Capernaum. Bible doesn't mention where Jesus returned to Galilee, but most Bible scholars think he came back to Capernaum. It was sort of his headquarters by the Sea of Galilee. And this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, had one child. She was a daughter. She was 12 years old. And she had a sickness or some other condition, but her dad knew, and everybody else in the family knew, that she was dying. And this ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus. Now, most rulers of the synagogue, most of the leaders of the Jewish religion, as we talked about last week, despised Jesus. They looked for ways to entrap him. They thought that that he was tearing down the customs that they held as sacred as law. These were things that the man had added to the commandments that God had given in their attempt to define what God meant. And Jesus was not honoring all them. He was not honoring what they taught about the Sabbath. He was not honoring what they taught about the temple. He was honoring what God taught about it, but not the things that man had added. He was not honoring what they taught about the sacrifices. And so most of the men in the positions that Jairus had would not be seen with Christ, would in no way come running and making this request to him. But Jairus did come. He came, he fell down at his feet, and he begged Jesus to come to his house to help his daughter. He'd certainly heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed, probably seen some of them, because Jesus had taught in the synagogue at Capernaum. You remember that one of the first miracles he performed there was casting a demon out of a man at the synagogue. And so maybe Jairus had actually seen some of the miracles. It was at Capernaum where Jesus was at a house and the whole city came. Everybody that was sick and lame and frail in any way came, and Jesus healed every single one of them. Jairus was familiar with what Jesus could do. And again, we don't know if how much his position, he let his position force him away from Christ. But we know this, that when his daughter got sick, and when it appeared that there was no hope for her to be saved, when the doctors had done everything they could, and the doctors had told this dad, "There's nothing more that we can do for your daughter. You and your wife better get ready. It looks like she's going to die." When all hope was lost, Jairus says, "Doesn't matter what my religion says. Doesn't matter what the other leaders of the Jews say. I've heard, I've seen what Jesus can do. I'm going to go ask him to come and see if he can help my daughter." And Jesus had agreed to come, because there in verse 42, the Bible says, "But as he went," as he was accompanying Jairus to his house, the Bible says there in that last phrase of the verse, the people thronged him. They crowded around him. And it was in that crowd that the lady we talked about last week came behind him and touched him, causing Jesus to stop and ask the question, "Who touched me?" Now again, remember Peter was the one who said, "Master, there's hundreds of people gathered around you. They're all wanting to touch you. They're all wanting to get close to you. Why would you even ask the question, who touched you? It could have been one of scores of people that touched you." And Jesus said, "No, somebody touched me in a special way, because virtue has gone out of me. Power has gone out of me." At first, everybody denied. But this lady, when she realized that Jesus wasn't going to go any further and that he probably knew who she was anyway, came forward and said, "I'm the one that touched you. I've been sick for a long time. I've spent all my living. I've spent all my savings in doctors, and I'm none better. In fact, I'm worse. And I thought that if I could just get close enough to touch the hem of your garment, the bottom of your cloak, I would be healed. I did that, and I was healed. I could feel it in my body. The flow of blood stopped, and I've been healed." Now, Jairus was standing over at the side while all this was going on, and I can just picture what was going on in his mind. "Come on, come on, come on, come on. We got to go. We got to go. We can't stop. You know, my daughter's at home dying, and I'm glad you're able to help this lady, but could you just hurry up? Could we be on our way and get to my house before it's too late?" Well, while, let's go ahead and start tonight and read verse 49 where we're going to start. "While he yet spake," while Jesus yet spake, while Jesus was yet speaking to this woman where he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole, go in peace." While Jesus was finishing saying that, a messenger came from Jairus' house. "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." So a servant, perhaps a servant from Jairus' house. Anyhow, a messenger that had been at his house came and said, "You don't need to trouble Jesus anymore. You don't need him to get to come to the house. It's too late. Your daughter is dead." And the verb tense there where the message delivered, "Thy daughter is dead," leaves no doubt. It's a word that means dead. Not a coma, not anything like that, but actually dead. And so you don't need to trouble the master or teacher, as that word means, anymore, because there's nothing he can do. And I'm sure that as a dad, and again, those of you that are dads, just put yourself in that man's place. As he stood there and got this message, "Hey, your daughter's dead," I'm sure despair filled his heart. I'm sure he asked the question, "Well, maybe if I'd come to Jesus sooner. Maybe if I hadn't waited so long. Maybe if this lady hadn't stopped us. And if maybe if Jesus had gotten there sooner, my daughter could have been saved and could still be alive." But just maybe in the back of his mind, he said this, "But what about that widow's only son in Nain? He was dead already. They were carrying him to the cemetery. Jesus stopped the funeral procession and told that young man to arise, and he set up, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. What about that? I wonder, even though this message has come that my daughter is dead, I wonder if Jesus could still help." Well, Jesus didn't give him a chance to voice that question or think about that very long. Look at verse 50. "But when Jesus heard it," when Jesus heard the message, he heard the message the same time Jairus did. "He said," he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Said Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just keep believing. You believe that I could help you when you first came to me, when your daughter was sick, when the doctor said there was nothing else could be done. You believed enough in me to put aside what the other Jewish leaders, religious leaders, might think of you coming and asking for my help. You believed that I could do something. Well, just keep believing, because you'll be made whole." And so out of despair that I'm sure any father would have felt with this message, "Your daughter is dead," Jesus provides a beam of light. Out of hopelessness, he promises hope. Out of death, he says, "Hey, don't worry about it. Life is going to come back." And so he said, "Only believe. Only believe." I would remind you tonight that faith is the key to the mighty works of God. Faith is the key to the mighty works of God. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, when we believe that He is who He is, and He is the worker of mighty works, then nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. I can't help but think that maybe Jairus felt like another father who brought his son to Jesus on one occasion. He was possessed by a demon, and the demon kept causing that child to throw himself into the water and into the fire, trying to kill him. And the father said to Jesus, "Can you help my son?" And Jesus said, "I can if you believe I can." And the father said this, "I believe, but help thou my unbelief." He said, "I believe you can, but I don't know if I believe enough." Maybe Jairus thought that same thing. "I still believe, Jesus, but I don't know if I believe enough." And we would say to Jairus, from our perspective, after reading the whole Bible and looking at what Jesus did, we would say to Jairus, if we could, "Jairus, it only takes a little faith. Just a little faith." Jesus said if we had faith like a grain of mustard seed, the smallest seed that exists, we can move mountains. It only takes a little faith. Look at verse 51. "And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden." And let's go ahead and read verse 52. "And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, 'Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth.'" And so they got to Jairus' house. Jesus went in. All the mourners were there already. They all, in verse 52, it says, they all wept and bewailed her. You remember when we talked about a funeral not too long ago, I mentioned that in the Jewish custom, they mourned for 30 days. It was a four-day period of intense mourning, and then a little bit less intense mourning for a period of time, and then the rest of the 30 days, there was still mourning. And there were people coming and going all during that 30 days to mourn with the family, to comfort the family. They actually had professional mourners, people that they paid to come to your house and mourn for those that you lost. And so they were there already. I mean, word spread quickly. Family was there, friends were there, the professional mourners were there, and they were all mourning. And of course, we know, some from personal experience, one of the saddest times in life is when you lose a child, especially when they're so young as this little girl was, 12 years old. Their grief was heartfelt. It was intense. And so the Bible says they wept and bewailed her. And Jesus went into the house, and the Bible says, hey, nobody else is going in except mom and dad. And then he took his inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John. They were with him on a couple of other occasions when none of the other disciples were allowed to go in. And he saw the little girl. He said, hey, quit crying. Quit weeping. Quit mourning. She's not dead. She's just asleep. Just asleep. Verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They made fun of Christ. They made fun of Jesus. They laughed. Said, he's a carpenter. He's no doctor. He may be a teacher, but he's crazy. He can't tell a dead person from a live person. The doctors have been here. They have pronounced her dead. Who does he think he is, saying that this girl, providing this false hope to her parents that she's not dead, that she's just sleeping? He can't tell the difference between somebody that's dead and somebody that's alive. Verse 54, and he put them all out. Apparently some of them had come into the house with him as they were making fun of him. And Jesus said, get out. I'm sure he said it in a nice way, but he said, get out. He put them all out. He took her by the hand. He went over to where she was laying and took her by the hand and said this, maid, arise. Maid, arise. This just wasn't a carpenter speaking when he said, maid, arise. This wasn't just a teacher speaking when he said, maid, arise. This was the one that spoke the worlds into existence. This was the one that filled up the earth with everything we see around us. This was the one who commanded, who commands the sun, moon, and stars to stay in their orbit. This was the one who has named all the stars and charted their course. This was the one that made man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. This wasn't just a man talking. This was the omnipotent God. Made, arise. Verse 55. And her spirit came again. Now let me stop here for a minute. The Jews thought the spirit hovered, when a person died, the Jews thought the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days. Remember when Lazarus died, and we're going to talk about that in a few chapters, Luke. He'd been dead for 4 days. And when Jesus told them to remove the stone from his grave, Martha said, Lord, by this time he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. And what she was saying, not only has his body decayed, but his spirit has departed. Spirit's not close anymore. Well, if what the Jews believed is true, and I don't think it is, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I think when a person dies, their spirit and souls, if they're a Christian, goes immediately to be with the Lord. And again, I don't know if this little girl was saved, but I think if she was, that her soul and spirit went immediately to be with the Lord. And so she wasn't hovering around waiting for something else to happen. But I think the return trip back to her body was just as fast as the departing trip. If when we die, we are present with the Lord, if the Lord wanted us to come back, we could get back to our bodies just as quick as we left them in the first place to go with, to be with him. And so when Jesus said, made arise, it was a command for her spirit to come back into her body. I wish I could have been there in the room with the disciples, those three disciples and mom and dad, as they looked at that body and they saw lungs drawing in air again and the color returning to her face. I wish I could have been in the room when Jesus said, made arise. And notice what the next verse, well, let's read the rest of 55. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. She was an obedient little girl. She didn't waste any time. She didn't argue with Jesus. When Jesus said, get up, she got up. Hey, don't you think every Christian should be that same way? When Jesus tells us to do something, we ought to just get up and do it. Not argue, not lay around, not wait for a more convenient time. Just be obedient and do what God tells us to do. Jesus told this little girl that had been dead, don't know how long, could have been an hour, could have been just a few minutes, could have been more than an hour, but her spirit returned. Jesus said, get up. And she got up, stood up, and he said, give her meat. Give her something to eat. Don't know how long she'd been sick. Perhaps she'd been sick for a while, and her sickness probably robbed her of her strength. You remember when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law? She was sick and had a fever, and Jesus came in and healed her. That she was not only healed, but her strength was restored because she got up and began to minister to Jesus and her disciples. And so in a miraculous way for Peter's mother-in-law, she was not only healed, but her strength was given back to her. In this case, Jesus brought her back to life and then said, give her something to eat. She needs to get her strength back in a natural way through eating and through continued rest. Verse 56, and her parents were astonished. Her parents were astonished. Again, Jairus must have had a little faith. It only takes a little when God's concerned. And so Jesus was able to come and work this miracle. But you know, even though we have faith that God could do something, sometimes when he does it, we're the same way. We're astonished. We're amazed. We're like Brother Dan in his testimony. I can't believe that God did that for me. I thought he could. I mean, if you would ask me if I knew, if I thought God could, yes, I think God can. But the fact that he did it for me, they were astonished. They were amazed. I mean, they were planning a funeral, and now there was no funeral to be had. No reason for it. Here's what Jesus said. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that would be one time I would be tempted to disobey Christ. What do you mean you don't want me to tell nobody? You raised my daughter from the dead. She was dead. I was planning a funeral, and now she's alive, and you don't want me to tell nobody? Now, I think it was pretty hard not to tell them when mom and dad and their little girl walked out. Don't you? I mean, everybody thought she was dead. The doctors had pronounced her dead, and now she's walking out of the house with mom and dad, not to go to a funeral, again, because there's no need for a funeral. Can you imagine what the professional mourners thought? Oh, man, we're out of a job. Nobody to mourn anymore. Just got to leave. And the family and the friends, I just think about it. I mean, these were normal, regular people just like us. I mean, they're not super Christians. They had the same feelings that we do, the same passions that we do. Just put yourself in that place. You think your little child is dead, and Jesus come, and I'd want to get on the rooftop and shout it. I'd want everybody to know. Now, let me just tell you why I think Jesus told them this. And we haven't got to this story yet, but in a couple chapters we're going to get there. Well, no, we're not either. That's in John. I don't know what I'm thinking about. But in John, and thank you, nobody, for correcting me. But anyhow, in John, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, later on, the Jews, when they were coming after Jesus, wanted to kill Lazarus. He was living proof of who Jesus was. He reminded the Jews of the power that he had even over death. And maybe Jesus didn't want to put this little girl in danger. Maybe he said, don't tell anybody. I mean, I'm sure he knew that when she walked out, that word was going to spread. But he said, you don't tell anybody. I don't want to put your little girl in danger because the Jews don't like me and they're not going to like her because she's a reminder of who I am and the power that I have. Again, whenever I read stories like this in the Bible, I always try to put myself in the place of the dad in this case and feel the emotions that he must have felt. Going to Christ, holding out him as the last hope to help his little girl. And then getting that message, well, hope is gone. She's dead. Nothing can be done. And hearing Jesus say, don't be afraid, just keep believing. Just keep believing. You know, sometimes when we give up on something, we need to hear that same instruction. Just keep believing. Nothing's beyond God's reach. Nothing's beyond his power. Just keep believing. Just takes a little faith. Faith as a grain of a seed of mustard. And he'll move mountains. He'll move mountains. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.